One.
Welcome back to Goal Line Stuff, the show where we talk about anything and everything football related. I'm Alex Kurkchiev.
And I'm Michael San Antonio, and boy, do we have a special show for you today. It was just the trade deadline, and so there's been many moves that have gone around the NFL, many important trades that teams have made in order to bolster themselves into positions that they weren't already in. And so we're going to talk about a lot of that. And on top of that, we're going to talk about two news pieces that we think are pretty important. The main being Kirk Cousins' season-ending injury, sorry, and what impact that has on the Vikings. What we think about that. Just talk about that, as well as the Joshua Dobbs acquisition by the Vikings. And then we're going to talk about the AFC North a little bit and George Pickens. You know, a little bit of controversy going on with him and some of our past takes about the AFC North. So it's going to be a jam-packed podcast episode, and I'm excited to get into this. You, Alex?
Always.
Okay. Let's start with the biggest thing, probably the biggest story of the last week or two, and that's Kirk Cousins' season-ending injury. I don't know why I can't talk, but this, I mean, is really bad for the Vikings, a team that already has been struggling this year. They were 13-4 last year, a playoff team last year. I know you before the season were talking about how you didn't think that the Vikings were really all that, and you didn't think that they would be as good as they were last year, and that's been right so far. But now with Kirk injured, it's pretty much guaranteed that the Vikings are not probably not going to win double digit games. And so they went and they acquired Josh Dobbs, so they don't have to start Jaren Hall, I believe is his name, from BYU.
Jaren
And
Hall, yeah.
Jaren Hall, yeah. And even with Dobbs, you know, the situation looks dire. They have to try to sign Jefferson to a big contract after the season, and I don't know if he's going to be willing to sign it after all the stuff that's happened, even with Kirk's injury. Like, we just have to see. I don't know. What's your take on this?
Honestly, as the season went on, I was getting higher and higher on the Vikings because they came out there and they started horribly, which we knew wasn't really the true Vikings. I think they were a very solid team. I think they probably would have made the playoffs if Kirk stayed healthy all year. And I'm higher on Kirk than most. Although honestly, I feel like it's getting to be a pretty universal thing that he's top 10. Like I've been preaching that since before this year, but I think people are starting to really acknowledge that. And I mean, I think the Vikings are dead in the water now without him because he was such a big piece of their offense. But I think Dobbs is gonna at least get them to a couple wins here and there. I think he's working with a lot better of a roster and a lot better of a coach than he was with the Cardinals. So
I mean,
I
I
mean, I
agree
like
with
the
that.
acquisition because there's no way you could go without someone.
Yeah.
And
I
Josh
just
Dobbs
like.
seems to be a better leader than Carson or any other guy on the free agent market.
I don't know about leader. I don't know what's going on in the locker room, but I will say I do like the move because I think that even if they still don't win any games, at least they went out and they got a guy who's been playing better than I thought he would play this year as a starter. And you know, that gives a chance for Jefferson to still make some plays when he gets back. I think the offense will still be not too bad. I mean, like you said, Kevin O'Connell's a great coach, much better than Steichen, much better than not Steichen, sorry,
Well,
Gannon.
yeah, I was about to say.
And any of the Eagles coaches, sorry, my bad. And it's just, you know, I don't think that I don't think Dobbs is gonna do anything to elevate them. I think if anything, it's a clear and obvious downgrade.
Oh, of
And it's definitely
course.
an upgrade from Jaren Hall, but like at the same time, the Vikings defense is bad. It's always been bad. And even though Danielle Hunter's having a great season, like there's still not a lot that I like on that defense. And then offensively with Jefferson hurt and then Dobbs as your starter now, I also don't like the offense. So yeah, rough second half of the season potentially for the Vikings. But their division, I mean, there's still potentially a wild card playoff spot open
Yeah, I
in the
mean,
NFC with how bad the NFC is. So if they can somehow, you know, turn things around, figure something out, win some scrappy games, I don't know. It's not over for them. They're still going to probably try to make a playoff push.
yeah, I don't know who's gonna get that third wild card spot because it's brutal. After Dallas and San Francisco are the first two wild card teams right now, who are both very good teams, that third spot is up for grabs and there's not one good team left.
So,
Like
like,
there's
a team
not
like the
one of these
Vikings
teams.
is going to have to come in and take it,
The
right?
Vikings would have made the playoffs if Kirk played the whole year. Now it's up for grabs, but
Yeah.
It's just horrible. You got teams like New Orleans, Tampa, Rams, Washington, Green Bay. Horrible teams.
I know that in the past you've been very high on the idea of the Vikings moving on from Kirk Cousins or drafting a rookie quarterback, in
I
order.
thought they would, yeah.
I know you were into the idea of Will Levis to the Vikings potentially. And so
I think
I
that would
want
have
to
been
know,
good.
do you think this is going to be Kirk, or that was Kirk Cousins' last game as the Vikings starting quarterback? Or do you think that they're going to still try to ride with him when he comes back from injury next year?
I think it could be. I don't. I think I still see them going with him because they didn't get anyone this past offseason. I think had they gotten someone this past offseason, like a Will Levis, and he had started the rest of the year for the Vikings this year, I think that yes, we had seen Kirk's last game, but I don't think that that's happening yet necessarily. I think he still could move on to a team like Atlanta, but I'm not sure anymore.
I definitely think he's going to remain a starter in the league because like his play has been great. Like you said, top 10 play
He's
pretty
been
much for the
awesome.
last 3 years. And so I think he's proven that he's a consistently good starter. No matter what, there's a market for that. There's teams that are going to want that. And I don't know. I think it's hard to gauge what Minnesota's going to do because we don't know how their season's going to end up. Like, it's possible Dobbs and O'Connell can figure something out with this offense if Jefferson comes back and, things are firing on all cylinders. But at the same time, if they like end up getting a pretty high draft pick, then I bet they probably will take a quarterback or just maybe move on from Kirk. I don't know.
They still could
But
take a quarterback. I mean, it's a good class. But I don't think Dobbs is bad enough to where, with the supporting cast he has on that team, I don't think that he's bad enough to make them like a really bad team. I think they'll be average at least.
I think they're average right now with Kirk.
Yeah, but like they're not gonna suck, is what I'm saying. They'll be average to below average, in my opinion.
I guess that's fair.
I think
Cardinals
that
almost won some games
with
with.
Dobbs's play, they've won one game.
Yeah, but they a couple really close games. I mean, they beat
I think with
Dallas.
Dobbs's play this year, with the talent that the Vikings have, he'll keep them afloat, at least enough to maybe be in the wild card push by the end of the season. I again, I don't see who else is making it.
I don't either, honestly. The Rams don't look good.
Injured and their defense blows.
Washington, I think, pretty
No,
much showed that they're not.
they
They showed
suck.
by their actions that they're not making it.
They suck.
I mean, maybe like,
The Saints are not making the playoffs.
no, I think the Saints are. I think they're winning their division.
Atlanta's in the lead right now.
So I would actually say Atlanta is probably going to be the third wild card, in my opinion.
Oh my God, if we get two NFC South teams in this year's playoffs,
Yeah, I know.
I mean, like,
Heinicke, man. Heinicke's good.
Heinicke's okay. He's
They
better than
finally
Ritter.
benched Ritter. They finally did it.
Finally, Arthur Smith finally pulled his head out of his you know where.
I got to start throwing it to Kyle Pitts now.
You gotta throw it to anyone.
Give it to
I
Bijan.
don't understand what's wrong with Arthur Smith.
They're winning though. Like that's the thing. Like despite him like not doing what he's supposed to be doing
They're
and throwing it to
500 in the
Jonnu
worst
Smith.
division in football. They should be more than 4-4.
I don't know about that.
See, I do. I mean, look
They're
at who they
not like
lost. Detroit, sure, loss. Jacksonville, sure, loss. Washington at home.
Sam
Tennessee,
Howell looks
their
good sometimes,
quarterback's
man.
first start. Come on, dude.
I don't know.
Ugh. Horrible team. What a terrible division, bro.
Saints are winning. That's all I'm saying. Derek Carr
We're
is gonna
hoping so.
turn around.
I think the Saints are awful too.
They're not awful. They're just not great.
I hate the Saints.
You hate Dennis Allen.
Yeah, I think that the Saints actually have a decent roster, and if they had any kind of competent coach, it'd be a good team.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it's hard to say. I don't think there's many good teams this year. Like when I
It's
look
there's a
at,
lot more parity, I feel like.
yeah, and even like the best teams, like the Chiefs this year are still one of the best teams, but they're not like great, you
Chiefs
know?
aren't the Chiefs this year.
They aren't.
Although, I mean, I don't know what you expect when you don't give Mahomes receivers.
No,
How have you
I
not
know, but
learned?
last year, like, they still made it work without receivers,
I
which is crazy.
guess, like,
I don't know.
why have we not learned?
I don't know. I could be GM for the Chiefs. I mean, it's kind of working though. They're what, like 5-2?
They're 6-2.
6-2? Like, yeah,
All the
it's
division
working
winners
well
in the
enough.
AFC are 6-2.
That's still like good enough, you know? As long as they make the playoffs, win their division, it doesn't really matter.
You want
But
to know what's
it's
really
gonna hurt
funny?
them in the playoffs. It's gonna
Yeah,
hurt them in the playoffs.
you want to hear a funny stat?
Yeah.
Pittsburgh and Buffalo have the same record.
That is really crazy.
Oh,
But Buffalo hasn't been that good this year. Like,
here's another good one.
yeah.
Pittsburgh and San Francisco have the same record.
That's crazy. Let's talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers and the AFC North. I had that take like 3 weeks ago. I was like, yo, if the Ravens don't win it, then I think the Steelers are the team who's going to win that division and make the playoffs. And as crazy as that is, because they don't look good, the Steelers have a winning record. Their defense has somehow gotten them to this winning record. And I sent you that stat yesterday, Alex.
They've been
The Steelers are,
outgained in every game.
yeah, they've been outgained in every game, and they're one of only like 30 teams in NFL history that that's ever happened in their first like 8 games or whatever. And they're the only team to have a winning record when that happens. Which, that's even crazier. Like, how are the Steelers winning games where they're being outgained when they're being when they look terrible on offense? They're 5-3, and their offense might be one of the worst offenses I could think of in like
They're
recent
not
years. Like,
particularly good on defense either.
they are good, but they're not like
I don't think
top
so.
five good. They're not top five good.
I don't think they're top 10 good either.
I would say they're top 10 good.
This team, I feel like, is getting fried every week on defense.
They're really good at holding teams to not scoring though. And TJ Watt might be the best edge rusher in the league.
TJ Watt is a freak. I'll give you that.
He's
I mean, their
incredible. His
stats are
impact is
good.
just.
They're holding teams to low points. It's just, I guess they don't pass the eye test to me.
Well, they get burned. They let easy plays up a lot.
Their secondary is awful.
They're okay with giving up the easy play as long as they don't give up the score or the long play or, you know. And but they have really good edge rushers. They have good line,
Yes.
and then their secondary is like pretty good. I mean,
No, their secondary sucks. Straight up.
I don't think it's that bad. Their linebackers are fine. Like, Minka's good at least. Joey Porter's
It's a
not
solid defense. I don't know that I even call it a good one.
top 10, but it's like latter half of top. I'd say it's like 8 or 9 probably if I had to do rankings right now. I don't, I'm just saying, like, I don't, they're 5-3, man. I don't know.
They're the Vikings.
Maybe.
I
And
don't know when the luck will run out, but the luck will run out.
on offense, the George Pickens the other day tweeted, "Free me," after he had 2 catches for -2 yards.
It's something about the Steelers, man. Something about Steelers receivers.
Deontay Johnson looks good though, coming
Deontay
back from
Johnson looks
injury. Did you
great.
see?
George Pickens is
Yeah.
nowhere near good enough to be acting like this.
Yeah, I want to clear the air on what I think about George Pickens. I think he's a very mid-level receiver. Like, yeah, he's physically talented. Like, he's big, he's fast, and he has some of the craziest catches you've ever seen, right? Like,
And
just
then the
contested
positive
catches,
that
whatever.
in there.
The thing about him though is that he can't create separation. So
Exactly. Yeah.
all the catches that he makes, push-offs, or it's just a crazy contested catch. And like,
Social media
that's not
receiver.
sustainable. That's
He's
not
a social
sustainable.
media
That's why
receiver.
he's not getting the ball a lot, because Kenny Pickett can't even throw the ball anyway. But especially if you're not open, he's not going to throw it to you. You know.
He's a social media receiver. All his catches look so good because they're contested catches because he can't get open.
I don't like the social media receiver,
I think it's
quarterback,
funny.
whatever. But this is the one case where I'm like, okay, like I could kind of buy into that, because I don't think he's really all that good.
No, he's not. I think he's very average. He's by
He
far
might
not the
hit
best
a
receiver on this
thousand
team.
yards this year, though. He might. I mean,
He's on pace. I think he's like five something through 8 games.
Yeah, although he slowed down the last two games with Deontay coming back, so
So maybe he will not get it, but
maybe he won't. Yeah. Talking about the
like,
AFC North.
no,
Oh, yeah.
any random practice squad guy comes down with that touchdown, and then you're going to be sitting there pouting on the sideline when your teammate scores his first touchdown in 2 years.
And
Who do you think you are, bro?
he has an ego.
I don't get it. You suck.
A lot of people don't think he sucks, so
I don't get it.
he doesn't even
Why?
suck. He's just like, he's not like a top 32 guy in the league. Like, he's
I don't
top
know that
15.
he's. I mean, I would have to look at it. Like, I'm sure.
Probably top, actually probably top 50. I don't
I'm
know.
sure on most teams you could find two receivers better than George Pickens.
I actually think I agree with that. Yeah.
On most teams.
I think I agree with that.
So I don't know why he's acting like this. One of his biggest concerns coming out of college was character problems. And that's probably why the Steelers took him. I know that they have success with that. Mike Tomlin is really good at managing that.
Yeah.
But like, how are you gonna act like that? Your team's 5-3. You just won the game. Like, come on, dude. You dropped an easy touchdown, or you messed up an easy touchdown, didn't make the play you needed to make.
Yeah.
Come on, dude.
I think it's one of those things like social media hypes up certain players who are like exciting. Happened
You're
with
funny.
DK Metcalf. It happened with Chase Claypool. It's just, and DK
George
is
Pickens
good.
wishes he could even be half as good as DK Metcalf.
I know. But he's more like a Chase Claypool, although he's better than Chase Claypool, but
He's definitely better than Chase Claypool.
it's that same type of thing. Like,
Pickens at least plays big.
yeah.
Chase Claypool is big, but he plays like he's 5'8 and can't get open.
Yeah. Chase Claypool also can't create separation, but
That's what I'm saying.
funny.
Can't get open.
Steelers love those guys. That's so funny.
Speaking of that game on Thursday, let's detour a little bit and talk about Will Levis.
Yes.
Because
I didn't
Will Levis
even
is like
think of that, but
proof.
let's talk about Will Levis.
Will Levis looks like he's for real. The zip on some of those balls that he put, unbelievable. That guy's arm is for real. He's obviously got some growing to do and some learning to do. Like, I think he struggles right now with checkdowns. He's really not hitting any of his checkdowns in the backfield. And a lot of those plays is like, screw it, hop down there somewhere. Which I think is, I mean, I guess it's a good strategy to, it, when in doubt, go to your number one. But when it's just a go route that you're just chucking the ball down the sideline, I think it's stupid. It's a waste of a down.
Yeah.
And oh my, the play calling on that last, the second to last Titans drive. Yeah, and the last one too. Awful, awful play calling. Like, I just brutal play calling. They're not helping him out at all. So I think that with some development and with some real receivers, because he has none right now besides Hop, Will Levis is going to be really good, if not next year, then the year after. And if Ryan Tannehill starts another game this year, then Mike Vrabel should be tried for malpractice.
I wouldn't go as far to say that because I think Will Levis still has some issues. He still needs to develop a lot. Like I was really surprised by the first game because like I mean 4 touchdowns, 250 yards is crazy for like a debut, but it wasn't like 4 easy touchdowns. Like if you watch the touchdowns, like the
Really
throws
impressive
were
passes.
incredibly impressive, perfect ball placement. He threw his receivers open. And especially with the Westbrook-Ikhine catch, like that throw is one of the best throws I've seen all year. I mean, it was like a 40-yard pass, kind of like off his back foot or like at an angle, and he got it right to Westbrook-Ikhine in the back of the end zone. So, like, yeah, we've known his arm is crazy. We know that he's ultra talented, and I think as much as I knew that, it still surprised me seeing it first game, like how much different he is than other quarterbacks. Like he's doing things that other people can't do. That being said, he also can't do things that everybody else can, like you said, with the checkdowns. He also, as much as I love aggressive quarterbacks because I think the game needs an exciting, aggressive quarterback. You know, I want someone who could throw the ball downfield and do all these things, but I feel like that's all he is right now. Like I don't see the mechanics don't look too good to me. the process, like on the last drive, he like when I guess going through his processes of receivers, like nobody's open. And instead of like throwing it away or trying to look for a check down, he's still forcing it to a guy who's not open. And especially like with the Titans receiver room, like Hop is the only guy who I'd trust for like a contested catch. Exactly. He's throwing it up to like Chris Moore into like double coverage to Chris Moore. And I know you're trying to win the game, but like, that's just not how you do it. I'd rather you play it safe and lose. Like you just have to know at when to do certain things. And I think that comes with experience, but Ryan Tannehill, I think, may have been able to win that game on that last drive, especially with all the leeway that the Titans were getting. You know, there was penalties, there was just, you know, things were letting up. And so I think that Will Levis still has a long way to go before he develops into a very good quarterback, but the tools are there. And if Vrabel can scheme things open, you know, get the offense a little more simplified for him so he could kind of just get into a groove, then I think he should remain the starter. But if he still continues to struggle in the next couple of weeks, then I'm fine with Tannehill coming back in. I really am.
Some of those throws that Will Levis made, Ryan Tannehill has never been able to make at any point in his whole career.
I agree. I know.
Especially now that his athleticism and arm are shot.
That's fair. Just, and obviously you want the rookie to get a chance, but the Steelers game wasn't great. You know, he looked fine. He looked like he is meant to be a starter, but you know, he still needs some development. And I don't think the Titans played two games. Yeah. I don't think the Titans are in a position where they can really like, oh, like we need to win now. Like they're not making the playoffs. And if they do it, it's like a long shot. So I don't know. I don't think it really, to me, I'd prioritize like his development over like anything else. And I don't know if it's best for him to stay in the game right now or if he struggles a lot to put Tannehill back in. I don't know. I really don't know.
He's struggled really at all so far. I think that his first game was obviously a lot better, but his second game, I don't think I'd call it a bad game by any means. I was very encouraged by what I saw on Thursday.
Like, Thursday was more like what I thought I'd see from him the first game. And I'm not discouraged, I guess, but like, I don't know. I don't think the Titans system or offense is like great for a rookie quarterback. And I also think with Levis' limitations, with his limitations, I think it's going to get increasingly harder once defenses kind of figure out how to stop the long ball. Like once, you know, if teams are playing too high safeties and they're really, you know, locking down Hop, Westbrook Ikhine, whoever else could be getting the ball, it's really just going to be a Derrick Henry show, I think, because to me, Will Levis still is missing a lot of the basics. He's still missing a lot of the basics.
Yeah, he needs to learn how to play quarterback a little better, but I think that I was very encouraged by it. Not everyone can just step in and be like incredible right away. That's why teams draft for traits for a guy that is able to make the throws that we've seen Levis make already within two games.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole point of drafting a guy who's not exactly the most polished.
Yeah. I get it. Well, Anthony Richardson does look more polished, but yeah.
Richardson, I think, is great too.
Yeah.
I think Bryce Young's going to be the worst of them all.
I agree. And I shouldn't have been like so adamant about him being a bust, but like I think it probably will be the case.
I think he'll turn out fine. I think the other guys just look really good so far early on.
I don't know if he'll turn out fine, but we'll see. The other guys do look really good.
They can't run the ball. They have no line. They have no receivers.
They can't do the Adam Thielen.
He's fine. He's not a number one at this point in his career.
He's a beast.
He's putting up number one numbers right now because he can't.
Because they have nobody else.
Yeah.
But if you actually watch, he actually looks like younger. Like he's playing very well. I don't know. It's surprising.
Yeah,
but I like Levis. I don't know. I'm not as high on him as others because of his limitations, but I think it's something that could be worked out and very definitely encouraging from the first game and from his arm talent, especially if the Titans can build around him in the next upcoming years, get some receivers, get an offense that can actually move the ball. Because they're, you know, their defense is already decent enough and they have a good coach. So I think he might be the future.
I think so too.
And it probably a mistake that he fell to the second round despite his limitations. Definitely a mistake. I think the
Vikings should have made a move there.
A lot of teams should have, probably, honestly.
No, but the Vikings was such a perfect fit.
Kirk was playing well. If Kirk didn't get hurt, then I still think that it's, like, bad to, like, I don't know. Like, now seeing that Kirk is out for the season, it's like, oh, I wish they drafted Levis or something. But, like, if he were to be healthy, then, like, I wouldn't be saying that. I don't know.
I would have been saying that.
I know. Kirk's
35.
Yeah. 35 isn't that bad for a quarterback. And
the Vikings may not be in a position to compete soon with that defense that they have.
That's true.
But I don't think Will Levis. I think that would have been a good deal.
Ah.
Let's move on to the deadline.
Yeah. A lot happened in the trade deadline. Let's do Chase Young first. We'll just go down the list. And I guess just like, I don't know, do we want to grade it or do we just want to talk about our thoughts?
Yeah, let's grade it for both teams.
Okay. So Chase Young, we kind of have differing thoughts about him, Alex, but Chase Young is someone who everyone thought as a prospect was great, had a great rookie season, and then has been injured or a little disappointing since then. That mm-hmm. being said, walking into the season, you know, the hope for him kind of ran dry. People were like, is Chase Young really all that? He's been injured. He's been a little inconsistent when he's played. I don't really know. And this year has been his best year so far. I mean, he still hasn't turned into a superstar, I would say, but he's well on his way to double-digit sacks. He's on his way to having his most impactful season. And even though all of that's happened, the Commanders weren't ready to extend him. They didn't want to give him a contract because of all the inconsistencies and injuries and everything. And the fact that they're not competing right now, you know, keeping him would just be a waste for them. They'd just be wasting money. They don't need him. They have a good line as it is. And so they traded him to the San Francisco 49ers. And I believe it was for, let's see.
Third.
Yeah, third. And was there a fifth involved or was it just a third?
I don't know. I think it was just the third.
Just a 2024 third round pick. So to me, I think San Francisco wins this trade.
That being said,
you don't know how long you're going to be able to keep Chase Young, but I mean, they're in a win now mode.
Not after Chase this Young year.
He's a great young player. Their line is already good, and he's just bolstering that even more. So I'd give San Francisco an A on this one because they gave up only a third for a player who could potentially help them win a championship. And for Washington, even though they don't need him necessarily, I'd probably give it like a C or a C plus, because I don't think that they got great value back for a player who, even though he's been inconsistent and injury prone, like, I mean, he's having a great season, and I only think he's going to get better, especially if he stays healthy. So I don't love
the great season is a little bit of a stretch. He has 5 sacks.
He's having a very good season.
I don't know, man. I think that the league leader is Danielle Hunter with 10. He has 5.
Yeah, but it's not all just about sacks. He's been extremely impactful in the games.
And for he looks
more like his old self. He looks more like his old self.
For a guy that you weren't going to re-sign, I think that getting a third is probably a little bit low because you're getting a third from one of the top teams in the league.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't hate the move at all. I'd probably give it a B- for the Commanders. But I think that for the Niners, I agree with your take that even though it's for half a season of Chase Young, when you're in a win now position the way that they are, with their quarterback still on a rookie deal, like the cheapest possible deal you can find, I think that it's a great move. So I would give it an A, even though I don't think he'll be playing for them next year.
But at the same time, though, we don't know that. Like, it's still possible he'll re-sign with them.
I think that some team will overpay him, and it won't be the Niners.
Most likely, yeah. But you never know. It's like a, you know, there's still a chance. I think the Niners win it, though. Want to move on to the next name? Montez Sweat. Okay.
Can't talk about one without the other.
Yeah. You go first on this one.
So basically the same thing happened, except this time it was for the Bears' second round pick, which is almost a low first. I like this deal for both the Commanders and the Bears. I think that even though he's a free agent, they just signed him to a big 4-year, $100 million extension. And that's why you trade for him, because you don't think he would have signed with you in free agency. So now you're getting the chance to extend him before and not have to deal with that whole free agent process. So I really like it for them, because he's a really awesome player. He's better than Chase Young, I'd say. And I also like it for the Commanders too, because they weren't going to keep him. He was going to demand a lot of money that they just weren't going to be able to give him. So I think it's great. They're cleaning house. They're building up their draft assets. They're going through a rebuild. So I think that the Commanders are actually starting to do things right, which sucks for us, but I like the deal. I guess if I'm putting grades on it, I give the Bears a B+, just because that is a high draft pick. But at the same time, realistically, you're not going to get anyone better than Montez Sweat, most likely, with that pick. And yeah, for the Commanders, I'd also give it around a B+, because that's still a pretty good return.
So I kind of share similar thoughts about this. I think it definitely was a high pick that they gave up. I was surprised that he would go for a second from the Bears. That being said, he's been a good edge rusher. He's been very consistent for the last 5 years. And even though he had health issues going into as a prospect, like that's why he fell out of the first round, I believe, right? He didn't go in the first round, right?
I feel like he was a first round pick.
I know he did. He went late first round, though. He went 26th, and he could have went like top 10 if he didn't have it, some health issues and other things. Even despite all that, though, I think that he's been very good in his time with Washington. And I'm more surprised that they got rid of both him and Chase Young. I thought one of them was going to go, but I didn't think both of them would go. And so I don't love that for them, although I don't think they need both of them. So I guess I'll give them a B+ on this move. I would maybe give them an A if they didn't give both of them away, because I think they got good value back for him, especially since, you know, a second from the Bears, like you said, is a high second. And the Bears, I don't like them giving up that pick. But that being said, they just signed him to a long-term deal. They're probably not going to be able to get a player of this talent like this very often, because they're not a very good team. No team is like, oh, I want to go to the Bears right now. And so, like, at the end of the day, I think this is also a win for the Bears. I'd probably give them a B, because I don't think that this is going to be like a huge long-term move. But I think this is a solid move, like, for the building of a potential team. I just think they have to make more moves like this in order to even get to a place where they want to be. So I'd say B for the Bears, B+ for Washington on this one.
Fair enough. I mean, I think that Washington did well this deadline in selling, and I think the Bears did well in getting a good player to sit there for them for the next 4 years.
Yeah. They kind of need an edge rusher. So
let's cycle over.
He's definitely good.
Yeah, he's awesome. Yeah. Let's cycle over to another defensive lineman. We got Leonard Williams getting traded from the Giants to the Seahawks.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I like it for both teams. The Giants aren't going anywhere. He's aging. He was a 2015 draft pick. And so getting assets for him, I really like that move for the Giants. And Seattle, as a playoff contender, is trying to win now, bolstering that defensive line. That's one of the weaknesses of your team. Awesome move.
Yeah, I agree, honestly. What would you grade them? Just good all around?
I like it for both teams. I believe they got, what, a third and a fifth back?
They got a second and a fifth.
Really? A second? Okay.
Yeah.
I still don't mind it. I think, yeah, 2024 second and 2025 fifth. Again, it's one of those guys where you're not going to probably get that good of a player with a low second round pick that's going to make an immediate impact. And a fifth is basically nothing. So I think it's a good move for Seattle. I'd probably give it a B+, A-. And for the Giants, who are looking to get younger, I think they'll be drafting a quarterback soon and probably trading for T. Higgins or signing T. Higgins. I've been on that agenda for a while. I like it. I'd give it around that same grade of a B+, A-, if not an A, getting a second round pick for an aging edge rusher.
Hmm. Yeah, I love the Giants, this move for the Giants. I mean, Leonard Williams, I don't think he's like washed, but he definitely has been declining the last couple or the last year and a half, I would say, because he had a really good 2021, and he was good with the Jets. He was solid with the Jets. Didn't live up to his
Top five.
To his, I think he was the second overall pick, right?
Nah.
Something like that.
He was probably five.
Sixth overall pick in 2015. I don't think he's lived up to that necessarily, but I think he's been a very solid defensive tackle for a large portion of his career. For the Jets, with the Jets for a little bit. And then the Giants, I mean, they got a good year or two out of him, but getting a second for him at this stage when he's about to turn 30, I think that's very good. Especially like you said, they're trying to move young. They don't really need Leonard Williams, and I don't think he's had a crazy good year so far. So I'd give them an A plus or an A for this move for the Giants. And with the Seahawks, I also like it. I don't like it as much because I think a second and a fifth for a guy like Leonard Williams, who really, I mean, this is like a they're also in a win now position. Leonard Williams doesn't have another year left on his contract. You know, he'll be able to move on from them after next year. I don't think he's going to be a huge addition to like I don't think he's going to push their defense over the edge. It's a good piece. And since the NFC is weak this year, like maybe it'll turn out that it works out for them. But I don't love it as much. I'll give it probably a B for the Seahawks because I think they overpaid a little bit for an aging defensive tackle that they might only have for half a season. And even though they might make a run, like, and they definitely need help on their line. Their line's not that good. I don't think this will be an impact move enough to give up a second, especially on a team that, you know, it's still young and still has a lot of, like, a second round pick could be extremely important for a team like the Seahawks that still has, you know, it is a couple players away from being a really, really good team, in my opinion. I don't think Leonard Williams is going to push the needle for me, but I do think it's a solid move for both sides. So I'd give them a B, Giants like an A or an A plus.
I agree. So we got one move left that we're going to go through quickly. We've got Kevin Byard to the Eagles, to our hometown Eagles. Overall, Kevin Byard isn't really the player he used to be, but he's still a good safety, and that was one of the positions that we've been struggling at the most. So I'd say an A, at least, for the Eagles, at least. For the Titans, I mean, it's a guy who's expiring. You didn't really get a whole lot back, which sucks for the Titans. I don't know why they keep doing this. I think they should just hang up the phone when Howie Roseman calls. But you got Terrell Edmunds, who's a very below average safety, and a fifth and a sixth. I guess for a guy that was going to leave anyway, you're getting something, but I don't know. C.
For me, I love this move because we need a safety very bad. And Kevin Byard's been a player that I've loved for the last like five seasons. I don't know. Ever since he became very good with the Titans, I've always really liked him. I think he's a great player. I think he has going to be an immediate impact for the Eagles. This kind of reminds me of Malcolm Jenkins, like not necessarily like as a player, but like that type of move, you know, that type of impact potentially for the Eagles. I think Byard could be good for the next couple of years with us. That being said, I mean, I don't think it's like, I don't think Kevin Byard's the player he used to be. I still think he's good. I'd give it an A for the Eagles because it's something we really need and we didn't give up too much. And for the Titans, I'm going to give it a B or a B minus. And I'm not as harsh on them because I think this is solely like, oh, we don't want to pay him. And, you know, we've already talked about the Titans. They're rebuilding, kind of, at least. I don't know. They're trying to go young. Terrell Edmunds is a good fill-in safety. I don't think it's like, you know, gonna hurt them too much going from Byard to Edmunds, even though Edmunds is way worse. And yeah, they, you know, they only got a fifth and a sixth back, but instead of having to give a really old player a big contract, that's what they did. So I'm not too harsh on them for that.
I don't know. I don't like it for them. I don't think the Eagles are gonna pay him either, but
I don't think we'll see. I think we might pay him actually.
No.
I could see it happening. That's all I'm saying. Yeah, that's the trade deadline. Do you have anything else to add, Alex?
I got nothing.
Thank you so much for listening. We should be back next week with another episode, but yeah, that's all for now. I hope you enjoyed. Bye-bye.